Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, in this world, there are many things that we can see the hand of God in His creation and apply it to our lives. So today, we're going to have a special presentation by Stephen Green entitled The Monarch Butterfly and You. Stephen, take it away.
Thank you, Fred, and welcome everyone to Church at Home. Today I want to talk about God's creation. The creation is both a proof and a reflection of God's glory, His power, and His very existence. In Romans 1 and verse 20, we read, "The invisible things of God are perceived from the creation of the world." That is, they are understood by the things that God made. Now, the universe is vast beyond imagination and complex above understanding, and yet there are pieces of the creation that illustrate God's involvement with mankind. Rainbows, for example, while beautiful, are actually a sign of God's promise to never again flood the earth. He has given us a physical reminder of one of His promises. And while it may be hard to imagine, there is a part of His creation that illustrates His plan of salvation. In the most unlikely of creatures is a small, fragile insect that in many ways depicts a Christian's spiritual walk, our struggles, and even our journey to the eternal kingdom. This is a true story, and I think you'll find it impossible to not see God's hand in the amazing story of the monarch butterfly. Now, in this first segment, I want to explore the spiritual threads and connections of the monarch life cycle with a Christian's character and growth. And I want to begin this story in the springtime in the fields of Texas. This is the time of the year when the milkweed plant is abundant and when the monarch butterflies are mating. Each monarch butterfly, each female butterfly, will lay up to 600 eggs, but they lay only a few eggs on the bottom of a leaf on a single plant. Then they move on to another plant and lay a few more eggs. Their eggs are dispersed over a wide area. I think in many ways this also is a reflection of God's people, for we are not in one small city or town. We are not in one state. We are not in one country. We are all over the world. We are made up of all the kindreds and tongues and nations. As we read in John 11 and verse 51, it says, that's referring to Caiaphas, the high priest during the trial of Jesus, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also that Jesus Christ might gather together into one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Now, within days after the egg is laid, a small speck-sized larvae emerges, and it begins to eat. Interestingly, the monarch butterfly caterpillar, the larvae, eats only one thing, and that's the milkweed plant. Likewise, what is the true spiritual food for God's people? Let's read this. Matthew 4 and verse 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." God's word is the true food, the true manna from heaven. It is the food that leads to spiritual life. It is the only food that we can partake of as God's children, as we become His spiritual children. It is the one thing that sustains us spiritually, just like the caterpillar only eats the milkweed plant. Now, contained within the milkweed plant is a chemical called cardenolide. It is a substance that's poisonous to most predators, and so it protects the caterpillar and the adult butterfly from many of the birds and insects that will prey on them.
The caterpillars will not feed on any plant but milkweed, because that plant makes them poisonous to most predators. The bright colors of both the caterpillars and the adults flash the word poisonous to would-be predators.
Likewise, too, God's children have a protection. God is our protection. God is our shield. Let's read this. Psalms 28 and verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him. Now, as we grow and learn, and as we read God's Word, we grow in faith. And as we grow in faith, we come to rely upon God more and more as our protector. This is also a connection, a spiritual thread that we can find in Romans 10 and verse 17, because it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. If the Word of God is our spiritual food, and we grow in faith, and we come to rely upon God, can we see the connection with the monarch butterfly caterpillar? Now, the cardenolides in the milkweed plant are used to make cardiac glycosides, which are used to treat congestive heart failure and other cardiac disorders. In other words, this is a heart drug. And just like the cardenolides, the cardiac glycosides, God's Word is a heart drug for us. Let's look at Psalm 107 and verse 20. God sent His Word and healed them. Have you ever thought about God's Word being a heart drug? God's Word having healing properties? That's what the Scripture says. Now, from the hundreds of eggs that are laid by the monarch butterflies, only a few will survive. Even though they have this protective chemical that is poisonous to most insects and birds, many will not survive to become a butterfly. They will either be eaten as an egg or as a caterpillar. This, too, is a spiritual connection for God's children, because many are called, but few are chosen. Our adversary, Satan, is trying to destroy as many of those that God calls as he can. As we read in Ephesians 6:16, take up the shield of faith with which you have the power to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Again, faith, which comes by hearing of God's Word, is our protection. And though many are called and few are chosen, we do have that protection. And a few will survive, just like the few of the monarch butterfly larvae. Now, after the larvae hatches from the egg, it is about the size of two pinheads. But it eats, and it eats, and it eats, and it eats. In fact, it continues eating such that it grows 27,000 times larger than when it first hatched, and 3,000 times heavier. Just as the larvae feed and grow and prosper, God prospers His children with His Word. In Psalm 63 and verse 5, it says, my soul, that is my spiritual being, shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And in 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, brethren, I am personally praying for you, that in all respects you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul is prospering. Now, once the caterpillar is fully grown, it'll suddenly stop eating. It's at this point that it'll find a twig or a branch and spin a small silk pad from which it hangs by its back legs. Then, its mouth and antenna and legs will then fall off, and it will anchor itself to the silk pad with a small black hook. At this point, all that's left is the caterpillar inside of a hard shell. This hard shell is called a chrysalis. And in many ways, this chrysalis is like the covering that God gives us for our sins. So when we are called by God, we begin to shed our sins. We begin to ask Him to forgive those sins and to put away those bad habits and those ideas and thoughts that are contrary to His Word. And in doing so, when we ask Him for forgiveness, God covers those sins with the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are left, like the caterpillar, free of those encumbrances and those sins. And we can see this in Romans chapter 4 and verse 7, where it says, "Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered, just like the caterpillar is covered with the chrysalis." Now, the chrysalis in the Greek comes from two Greek words. One is chrysos, which means gold. The second one is chrysalis, which means in the process of developing. Combined together into the word chrysalis, it means in the process of developing gold. God likens us to gold that is being refined. Gold that is dug out of the ground is not pure. It is mixed with impurities. It has dirt and other rocks and things in it that must be removed for us to have fine gold. But He likens us to gold that is being refined. In Lamentations chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, "The precious sons of Zion are weighed against or comparable to pure gold." This is the end result. But in Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 9, it says, "I will bring them," that is God's children, "through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call upon my name and I will answer them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God." While the chrysalis itself is an emerald green color and it's opaque in the beginning, almost as if to emphasize the gold in the word chrysalis, the process of developing gold, there are dots of gold color around the top of the chrysalis. It almost looks almost like a wreath. Again, I think there's a spiritual thread that we can pull on here. Let's look in 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. When the chief shepherd, that is Jesus Christ, is manifested, when Jesus Christ returns, in other words, you shall receive an unfading, eternal crown of glory. Now, I want to mention one thing about the pupil stage. An amazing thing occurs during this time because every appendage, organ, and muscle in the caterpillar disappears. This is so contrary to evolutionary creationism that it is never spoken of by those that call themselves evolutionists. There is nothing in science that is able to explain why a creature will get rid of the vital organs in its body to become something else.
When it's time for the transformation to begin, the caterpillar's body ramps up production of a hormone called ectosone, and that causes it to cast off its outer coating. And underneath is a hard shell, similar to the exoskeleton of a beetle. After that, life for the little caterpillar gets oozy. First, it releases enzymes called caspases. These rip apart and dissolve cells in its muscles, digestive system, and other organs. But the enzymes don't quite liquefy all of the caterpillar. They leave key structures intact, like breathing tubes. At the same time, specialized cells called imaginal discs start waking up. Before the chrysalis stage, these discs were kept dormant by a series of hormones in the caterpillar's body. But once the transformation begins, those hormone levels take a nosedive, giving these discs the opportunity to do what they do best, build a butterfly. You see, each disc contains the genetic recipe to form a different adult body part, starting from the inside out. After 1 week, the digestive system of the butterfly is well on its way. And by day 16, The adult's legs, wings, eyes, and mouth are all present and in working order. Now, 2 weeks is a remarkably short time for all of this to happen, since each imaginal disc starts out with only about 50 cells and must multiply those into thousands just to form a single wing. And if you checked out the chrysalis around day 16, you might even be able to see those brilliantly colored wings. Because for some species, their chrysalis turns transparent in their final days of metamorphosis. Now, fully formed, it's time to hit the road. The chrysalis splits open down the center, and the butterfly escapes. Meanwhile, a reddish liquid spills out. That's all the waste the butterfly, nay, caterpillar, produced during its stay. Once its wings expand and harden, it's ready to mate, pollinate, and slurp nectar to its heart's desire.
So this is something that contradicts evolutionary creationism. But of course, as we know, God has a name for evolutionary creationists. We can read that in Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." Now, over the next 10 days, the chrysalis actually changes from an emerald green to something almost transparent. And we can see inside the caterpillar that is now mostly a butterfly. You can see the spots on the wings and how they're folded up around the body. This, too, I think, is a spiritual reminder that God can see into our hearts. He doesn't look upon us as we see ourselves. Notice 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7. The Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. We can also notice something similar in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 39. Then hear in heaven your dwelling place and forgive, and do and give to every man according to all his ways, whose heart you know, for you only, God, know the hearts of all the children of men. Then comes a moment when in about 80 seconds, the butterfly emerges from the chrysalis. I think this is another spiritual connection that we can make, because there's going to come a time when we will emerge as the image of Christ. We will be a new being also. Let's read it in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 16. But when their hearts turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. This is similar to the chrysalis being broken. The veil is taken away. While we can almost see detail through the chrysalis, it's not quite clear, so there's still something in the way for us seeing the actual butterfly in the chrysalis. Let's continue. Verse 17, Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But we all, with uncovered faces, beholding the glory of the Lord as in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image as Jesus Christ. Did you know that that word transformed in the Greek is metamorphosis? That's exactly what is happening to the caterpillar. It is metamorphosizing into a butterfly. It is changing into a new image, a new creature. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, it says, If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. This is just like the monarch caterpillar. It is a new creation inside of its chrysalis. It is being formed into something completely different. Now, there is a danger at this point. As the butterfly emerges, if it takes too long to come out, its wings will be permanently deformed. Because the air is constantly drying the wings after it emerges. So if it takes too long, it's going to have wings that will not function and it will die. I think this is a danger and a reminder for us, God's people. When He calls someone, there is a danger in taking too long to respond to that calling. We can read of this in the parable of the fig tree. Let's go to Luke 13 and verse 6. And He spoke this parable. A certain man had planted a fig tree in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, but he did not find any. Then he said to the vine dresser, "Look here, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and have not found any. Cut it down. Why should it continue to waste space in the ground?" But he answered and said, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig about it and put in manure, and see if in fact it will bear fruit. But if not, after that you shall cut it down." After the butterfly emerges, it's called an imago in biology. That is a Latin term meaning image. And again, we can go back to the new creation. Let's read about it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 4-9. "And as we have borne the image of the one made of dust," referring to Adam, the first man, "we shall also bear the image of the heavenly one," that is Jesus Christ, who was born of spirit. We are being made into a new creation in the image of Jesus Christ, just like the caterpillar is being made into the image of the butterfly. Now the imago, the image, is the last stage of an insect. It is when the adult has reached full maturity and it is complete. We too, when we emerge on the day of our resurrection, will be the imago, the image of Jesus Christ, and we likewise will be complete. We will be filled with God's Spirit. We will be God's Spirit. Let's read in Matthew 5, verse 48, we are to become perfect. That word perfect means complete, even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. On the day of our resurrection, we will be made into the image of God and Jesus Christ. We will be perfected in His Spirit because we will be Spirit. Now, once it emerges, the butterfly has to stretch its wings out because they've been crumpled and compacted inside the chrysalis, and it does this by pumping a fluid into them. And this, again, I think is another connection with God's Holy Spirit. We are being filled by His Spirit. In Ephesians 5 and verse 19, it says, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Just like the butterfly must fill its wings with that fluid before they dry out. Otherwise, it will never fly and it will die. Without this fluid, the wings will never form and the butterfly will never leave the ground. Likewise, too, without God's Holy Spirit, we can have no repentance, and from that we can have no forgiveness, and from that we can have no eternal life. God's Spirit is life. Let's read in Ephesians 3, verse 16, that Jesus Christ may grant you, according to the riches of His glory, here it is, to be strengthened with power by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that by being rooted and grounded in love, you may be fully able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses all human knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What an amazing connection that we can see between the life cycle of the monarch butterfly and a true Christian, a true child of God, called to become and to be changed into a new creation. What an amazing sign or representation that God has given us of this little tiny insect as it pertains to our spiritual lives. But it does not end there. In fact, there is much more. And in the next segment, I will explore these amazing spiritual connections, these threads, with the migration of the monarch, and how we can see the journey of God's children throughout the ages as we all walk toward that spiritual eternal kingdom of God. See you next time.